Money Show. Business
books. The only South African book last year on Mr. Book Review, Ian Mann's list of top books for 2016 was by Stephen Jacobs. It's called The New Manager, How to Become a Leader in 52 Simple Steps. Now, isn't that the biggest sin, Stephen Jacobs, in writing about leadership, is you put the word manager and leader on the same page? Because the purists will tell you that they're fundamentally different things. Managers manage and leaders lead and inspire.
Excellent. Bruce, thank you. Firstly, for having me on your show, this title, it took a long time to come up with the title, and a big thank you to Ronald Rector Herbert, who helped me from Penguin to come up with the title.
So you're blaming her?
No, it was a great title. Okay. It's very true. When someone's appointed as a leader or as a manager in their first role as leading people, in essence, they manage, and you'll find that it's a tick box exercise. Have I had my team meeting? Have I had the discussion with my staff member? Are they going to deliver on their objectives? And they haven't yet won the hearts and minds of their staff. And it's, in essence, what you want to do is see that person become a leader. You want them to come to work, and people love working for them. They love to put their heart into the work. But how do you win your staff over? You know, going from that position of management into leadership, and you'll find they're interchangeable through the year as well. But that's in essence what a good leader is. Mm. It's they've won their people over. But most people, when they're appointed as a leader, they don't lead.
No,
they just manage. And that's why this book was written.
What's lovely is when you watch people appointed into management positions who then grasp the opportunity that has been granted to them. And they could be perfectly adequate managers all their lives, but they don't choose to be adequate managers. They actually do want to motivate and inspire and get people almost to run the business themselves.
Yeah, I think the key here is the motivation when they're leading their team. I mean, most people, are you there just to deliver on the numbers, or is your primary role as a leader to develop the team that's under you, inspire them and make them become more effective in their own personal capacity? And should these people be with you for 10, 15 years, or is it your job to make sure that they're attractive and they grow in their own careers? And I think that a good leader is someone that has regular promotions within that team.
A lot of managers are frightened to get their team too good because it threatens their position. And that's a disease, certainly in the corporate world.
Yeah, I think those type of managers can become obsolete quite quickly. I mean, if you're threatened, you shouldn't become a leader. The reality is that your job is to improve the people that are with you. And in fact, if you do a good job of it, then your leaders might notice you and say, hey, you're very good with people. And if a broader role becomes available for you, you might find that promotion. Mm. But if they see that you do nothing for your team, I mean, if you can't lead 10 people and inspire them to become better, how can they put you in charge of 100 people?
I love the fact how you tell the story. I mean, you're a classic head boy phenomenon, right? So you're a head boy at your school, yes. And you then get your first job and you're managing 10 people.
Yes.
And one of those 10 people comes up to you on day one and everybody's sucking up and being all nice to you. And this woman looks at you in the face and says, Stephen, I don't like you.
True.
Now, that is not a traditional first day as a manager at work.
No, it wasn't. And, what is funny, it took me 8 years to get my first job as a leader in a workplace, and that was quite disappointing. But it took me a while to realize that you lead even when you're not a leader, and you need to make yourself attractive. But the reality is that, yes, not everyone likes you when you get your job. And when this person came to me, Bruce, I was like petrified. It's like, man, everyone's watching. She doesn't like me. Inside, I'm fuming. I'm sure my face must have been red. But I was thinking to myself, how do I respond to that? Because that first sentence and what I say has been a massive impact.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I had a word of wisdom in my heart to say, just say, it's okay. You don't have to like me. And it's a good thing. Not everyone has to like you.
But you did suffer from the syndrome that so many people do suffer from when they get that first management job. Is they're one of the team.
Yes.
And then they get promoted out of the team.
That's exactly right.
Put in charge with the team. They still want to be liked.
Yes.
And that's quite hard.
It's very hard. So the transition in terms of leading a team of people that used to be your colleagues is really difficult. But there are things you can do that can make that journey a lot easier. So, for instance, on the one that you've asked with Helen, the reality was that when I looked at that situation, was like, it's okay, let's just focus on the business objectives and get business thinking in place. And that strategy worked. And over time, you can win that team over. You won't win them over in that first week. It's impossible. But if you do the right things, you can win them over.
I mean, did Helen ever come back and say,
yes,
you're not so bad?
Yes, she did. I'm it's the first time I've actually mentioned her name. In the book, I don't mention her name.
Helen
but
who?
It took, But it took literally it was a couple of months, and she did come and apologize, and and I can understand. I mean, at that stage, we're all vying for the position, and it's very disappointing when you don't get it. So there was a reason behind that when she said those words. But it was really a good leadership lesson.
It is a very important lesson, and how you respond under pressure is absolutely crucial. You advocate things like managers jolling with the team and going out and having drinks and having fun and still being part of the team. Now, that's a very difficult balance to strike, because the next morning you're still in charge, and somebody had too much to drink the night before and said something bad about your boss, and you're kind of now torn between what they said then and what the boss might think. And if anybody finds out that you knew that, it'd say, oh my goodness, me, corporate politics par excellence. A lot of people choose to avoid that by distancing themselves. You say don't.
What I said is, you know, when it comes to building a good reputation, which is a chapter in the book, I said, you know, a new manager must be very, very cautious on how they approach that social function, because some have had too many drinks, as you've said, and the example they set is diabolical, and it can affect their career going forward. So make sure that you are managing yourself correctly. But yes, social engagement, you know, some of your team members will be drinking, but I'm saying even in the team building event, which I've mentioned here, is set the limit. You know, what you don't want is drunk colleagues at a function, and that sometimes happens because the leader that set up the function hasn't put those boundaries in place before the event. And that's exactly what you don't want to happen. So, you know, what you're saying is true. It is important to socialize, because that's where you get to know the team. If I understand you as a person, I can lead you much better than if I see you just as a number and I don't know much about you. So if I understand you, I understand your background, I understand, man, you're a single lady, you've got a child, and you the person that picks that person up from school, it will help me not to have a late meeting and expect you to be at it. So those type of things in social engagement, it's very important that as the leader you set the example for your team, but also be in that moment with them so that you can understand and build your understanding of that team.
The most overused word in business is innovation. The most overused word, in my opinion, in leadership is authenticity. I mean, you're public speakers who create talks on authenticity. Be your authentic self. And people sit and take notes. Yes. And you go, no, you're not getting it. Yeah. You know, either the talk's not good enough or people are just not getting it. Authenticity is really hard, because people are constantly, they can't believe they've got the job. I don't think you believe that you got the job against the 9 other colleagues in the team.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And Helen clearly didn't think you deserved the job.
Yes.
And you're supposed to be authentic through this process. Now, what is authentic? Define that authenticity, because the authenticity of yesterday when you were at the pub with the guys having 4 or 5 beers, and your authenticity when you're telling them you could only have 2 at the next meeting is a different kind of authenticity.
Yeah, again, and you're right. If you are a person that doesn't follow through on your word, that would happen. So in other words, if you go to a function, you're having 5 beers and you're supposed to only have 2, then you're not authentic. There's a chapter as well, I speak on being yourself. And one of the faults is that a new leader gets a job. In their mind, they've read so many management books that are probably levels far above them. You know, so they're reading a book about a CEO. They're not a CEO.
Steve Jobs would have done this. To do that.
So they then start to change who they are. And I'm saying that in my view, a new leader must continue being themselves. If they if they're not an extrovert, don't come to work and suddenly become the extrovert. Don't become suddenly the disciplinarian. So I'm saying be yourself. Don't change things. And just the leader that is looking after you will tweak your performance as you go along. If they're in a good relationship with you, if they see things they don't like, they'll challenge you on it. And I mentioned that in the book, because you must be yourself. Authenticity is not something you build. It's something you are. And I'm saying, yes, be yourself. But 100%, and what you said there is 100% true, don't go to a function, and that's where, you know, you must be the example, and say, don't do this, and then you go and do it. I mean, you're not going to have any respect.
Yeah.
So, and alcohol is probably one of the greatest challenges for a leader, and I personally think if they can drink less, much better for it. And, you know, you can be at a function till 4 in the morning and not have 1 drink. As a leader.
But would you be being yourself?
For sure you would. In fact, more so.
It depends on the individual, I suppose. One of the more memorable quotes from Michael Jordan when he was CEO at FNB was, always hire people smarter than yourself. And to my mind, Michael Jordan is one of the smartest guys in the room. He's a clever guy. Some of that was smart PR. Some of it, you may very well have believed it in terms of making sure that you hire the best people you possibly can.
Yes.
That is the difference, to my mind, of management versus leadership. Yeah. It's having the confidence in your own position, your ability to lead, because you have different skills to the technocrats you hire. Yes. They're just better than you at those things. Let them be.
I for a leader of 10, like now we're talking about a person that's just been appointed. So we at the just a very junior level. My view is that every single person in that team has something of value to give that you can't give. That's the reason you're leading those people. And so look for the value in that member. You might find someone in that team that has got a massive network that you could use for your own business to grow the business. Mm. And if you don't engage with them and open that opportunity with them, then you miss the opportunity. But if you're not looking for value in your staff member and all you're looking at doing is filling bums on seats, you're not going to get anywhere. So that principle holds true even as a leader of 10. And smarter than yourself, well, I think everyone is smarter than myself with regards to the value that they can bring. And all of us have got value. If we look at the value of the team member, then yes, we're going to achieve a lot more. It's not necessarily that they got a better degree than you or a better this, but it's have you seen the value they can bring to the table?
I was going through your book and I'm going, yeah, that's all well and good, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then I got to the real nitty gritty.
Yes.
And I'm glad you included it. Is how do you become the tough guy? How do you become the person who does the firing? Because actually in the team of 10, there is one person, maybe it's not Helen.
Yes.
And you don't want to fire Helen because then everyone will think that you're mean. But Johnny decides that he's not going to cooperate or Johnny's performance isn't up to scratch. You're being an inclusive leader. You're being the good guy. You're being the person who everybody respects.
Yes.
Now you've got to fire somebody on the team.
Yeah. I think, you know, the reality here is that when people think that love has no rules within it, that's when the challenge happens. So in firing someone, the reality is if you love your kids, you're going to discipline them and make sure that their behavior is in line. So firing someone, I've fired people, but I've always said I fired no one. And what we do in that situation is if you've had those valid discussions around the performance contract, in essence, they know that if they don't adhere to that contract, they are putting themselves in a position that they are no longer meeting the contractual laws of their obligations. So if someone comes to work drunk, yes, they can be fired on the spot.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah. Now, if they are performance-based, you would have had the one-on-one discussions. You would have given them the coaching and that, and they're not responding. The reality is they haven't met their contractual obligation. And as a leader, if you don't take those right steps, you are no longer qualified to lead. And I've seen it where I've had to demote leaders in the past because they are unable to execute that role. And in this book, I try and help them to deal with the emotional bondage. I had someone in Ghana saying to me, you know what, Stephen, if I fire this person, someone's going to curse me and my family, and then all of us are going to get sick. And it took a while for them to understand that, you know what, that curse can't land because it's causeless. The reality is that the person deserved to be fired. You're not going out there to victimize, but let it be done in a humane and a respectful manner. It doesn't have to be shouting and screaming. It just needs to be done really, really with respect and dignity. Allow the person to keep their dignity through the process. If you follow it correctly, even if they took you to the CCMA, you would still win the case because you followed the right steps. And it's not victimization. That's a completely different aspect.
And it's also when somebody's a destructive force in a team, you're actually undermining the team
100%
by allowing that person to remain. And actually, it's demotivating for the rest.
I had that. I had a negative team member. And it's unbelievable how productivity drops if you don't address the negative team member. Don't do it in a public forum because that's just the wrong place. It doesn't. You don't respect their dignity. Take them into a one-on-one. Explain the behavior, what the impact is with the team. And then give them the consequence management. If you hear them doing it again, this is what's going to happen. And then make sure you follow through. Because a lot of leaders, they tell them what to do, but they don't have the wherewithal within to go and confront them when they do actually step over the mark, which they weren't supposed to step over.
Stephen Jacobs, the new manager, how to become a leader eventually in 52 simple steps. Once you've gone through all 52, then you can call yourself a good manager. It's up to you as to whether or not you become the leader. Stephen Jacobs, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Touch.
Thank you.